Testing, testing, hot out, bound car. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Are you ready?
I'm all ready.
You on here? Come on, let's go inside and get started.
Dusty out in that hall.
Hey, get a load of fights over there.
Would I like to you just once?
Dusty out in that hall.
What's my temperature, Norton?
111.
Oh, come on, let's get moving.
Isn't there any law here?
Yeah, about 300 pounds.
A 20% percentage.
And now, who is our next guest, please?
Herb, here's our next guest.
Humma, 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 humma.
Ed Norton.
Ha, ha. Watch this.
The Honeymooners Podcast, the only podcast that is all about the greatest show of all time, with the stars, Joe Conti and Louis Fats.
If they ever institute a Nut of the Month Club, I've got a very good idea who's going to be January and February.
Welcome, fellow raccoons and members of the Women's Auxiliary. What's happening, all you Hurricanes, Bensonhurst Bombers, and all you Mr. Harpers of the world? You are listening to the Honeymooners Podcast with me, Joe Conti, and my pal Louis Fats.
Well, I hope so. My goodness, a little food is the least you can get out of marriage.
The only podcast all about the greatest show of all time. We record in the non-productive studios at 328 Chauncey Street in Bensonhurst, Brooklyn, also known as Clifton,
New Jersey.
Subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. And if you're on iTunes, give us a five-star rating and leave a positive review because we will read them.
Yeah.
Our home base, the home website, is non-productive.com/honeymooners. So you can go there and listen to any of the episodes. And if you go to any of the episodes, you can go down to scroll on the bottom and you can Patreon us if you want to support us through Patreon.
Right.
And don't forget to like our Honeymooners Facebook podcast. Honeymooners Podcast Facebook page. Okay, I had it boxed. I only got $13 because it was a box. But don't forget to like our Honeymooners Podcast Facebook page. Follow us on Twitter. And if you want to leave a voicemail, right, call 240-442-2635 or Bensonhurst
0-7741.
Yep. And if you want, email us at honeymoonerspodcast@aol.com.
Ha, ha, aren't they ancient?
Yeah, we are a bit ancient.
Ha, ha, aren't they ancient?
AOL loves us.
Yes, AOL. Yeah, that's our new sponsor, AOL. What's going on, Lou?
Joe, 95.
Yes.
We got 95.
Number
Richard,
95.
We have a Richard Dent 95.
Yes.
For all our Chicago guys out there.
Yeah, we got a few Chicago guys.
Really loving
there.
That. Hall of Famer, four-time Pro Bowler, one-time All-Pro, two-time Super Bowl champ.
He was a two-time Super Bowl champ?
Two-time Super
Do you know
Bowl
who
champ.
Who else he won with? He didn't win with the Bears both times.
He played with a couple teams at the end.
Oh, okay. Very good. Good for him.
Two-time Super Bowl champ. Actually, an MVP of one of them.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. Oh,
that's Richard Dent.
Yes, Richard Dent. Well, you know what? Before we get started, we have to mention our phenomenal 100% stupendous, colossal sponsor.
Sponsor.
And that is Silk City Hot Sauce. All right? What you do is, folks, go to silkcityhotsauce.com. Get yourself some tremendous hot sauce. Great hot sauce like Mango Madness, Badass Jew.
Badass Jew.
Who I worked with last weekend.
Oh, you did work with him.
Aaron Berg. He's unbelievable. I watch him 45 minutes just do crowd work and just destroy the whole room. It was absolutely hilarious. He is a badass Jew. I will say that. Aztec Attacks
Aztec
is another
Attack
one.
Is one of my,
yep. Yeah. I love Slurp. Absolutely.
Mango Madness.
There's so many. And there is going to be a new one coming out soon.
Yep.
Yep. One that's going to be for our show.
Yeah.
Yep. He's working on the one that Brian Carney
gave
me. Oh, the
one that Brian gave me the idea of.
But he's also
on
working
road flare.
On. Yeah, sitting on a road flare. Now I'm not sure how serious he was when I told him. But he's actually working on a hot sauce that is for our show.
Oh, perfect.
It's like a honey habanero type honey, habanero, of thing. Like a so
hominy,
it's going to.
Humana hominy.
Yeah, the humana.
Humana.
Yes. So what you do is you go there, get some great hot sauce. He has great deals. And when you're done at the checkout, there is a thing for a coupon code. And what you do is you go in the coupon code and you put the code. I don't know where it is, but it's RX.
It's RX. We know what it is.
Yeah, it's RX. And get yourself 15% percentage off of your order, and you get a I forgot what it is. It's
cherry sriracha.
Yeah, free bottle of cherry sriracha.
I'm sorry, sir. I couldn't think of the word.
All right, we're a little rusty, all right, guys? All right, it's 2 weeks, but if we just said right before we started, I said, man, it feels like we haven't done this in a while.
In a month. It feels like
a month. It really feels like a month. Absolutely. It really does. So we're a little rusty.
And it's showing.
It's absolutely showing.
First 5 minutes.
Right. Exactly. They don't let us in half of the studio, halfway in the studio. That's an inside joke for just me and Lou. Yeah. But go get yourself some great hot sauce at silkcityhotsauce.com. And also, if you are on Etsy, go to Etsy.com and look up Honeymooner's Store. There's still a few left. That's our pal.
Yeah, he's got some items left. Yeah.
Brother Norton, go in there. He's got some cool mugs, Chef of the Future aprons. So go to Etsy.com. And I forgot I can't find the actual link, but it's Etsy.com and put the Honeymooner's Store and it'll come up. Mm-hmm. And, well, listen, before we really get started with the show, we are recording this on April 19th, and it's been almost a week, and the great Gilbert Gottfried had passed away.
Yes.
And Louis was a big fan, and so was I. And what a big loss for comedy.
Yeah.
A tremendous loss for comedy. And I worked with Gilbert a couple of times, and I will tell you guys this. Gilbert never drove. I don't think he ever had a car.
Right.
He might have years ago, but a couple of times I had to pick him up to go do a couple of gigs.
In Manhattan he lived?
Yeah, he lived in Manhattan. And the interesting thing about him, first of all, he was a very slight build guy, very small. And I remember the first time I ever went to pick him up, I was at the heaviest I had ever been. At one point, I was like 350 pounds. I was a very, very grossly, you know, whatever. And I pulled up to his apartment and I saw him and, you know, so I get out of the car and I head towards the back of my car and I kind of was, you know, I guess when you're that big, you get rolling, you know, and I came around the corner because I guess I was like, you know, it was my first time ever meeting him too. Yeah. So I came out with a little steam and I'm like, how you doing, Gilbert? And I think he almost fell over. I scared the bejesus out of him. He almost fell over. He was like, oh,
yeah.
The thing about Gilbert was that he was so not the guy on stage.
That's what I heard.
Put it to you this way.
I've been hearing it from you now. I was like, man.
Put it to you this way. One of the first times I ever rode with him, we probably drove like 2 hours from Manhattan to like somewhere in New York State.
Mm-hmm.
And he probably said 6 words. Very, very quiet. Very shy, but it wasn't out of like some, like he wanted to be chauffeured and he didn't want to talk to you. He was just a really shy person. I talked to, you know, I would start little conversations. I read people. I can tell when somebody's just kind of like, hey, listen, I'm just by myself. And he wasn't rude or anything like that. And we got into a little conversation, but he was very quiet, a very shy person. But here is a really funny story of Gilbert. And it's actually nothing to do with Gilbert himself. So one show that Gilbert had, it was my friend who was running a show in Jersey, and Gilbert needed a ride. So one of the girls that was on the show was picking him up in Manhattan. And this girl had just gotten a DUI and just got her license back. So she picks up Gilbert. And for anybody that doesn't know, if you get a DUI, I don't know if it depends on whatever state you're in, but they put this thing in your car where every 15 to 20 minutes you have to pull over and blow into a tube to make sure that you're not don't have any alcohol in you.
Right.
And that's how the car starts back up again. The car, you have to pull over.
Really?
Yes.
Never heard of that.
Yes, I couldn't. Yeah, I know two people that have had this. What happens is, it's ridiculous every 15 minutes. Yeah. Like, how drunk are you going to get in 15 minutes? So imagine Gilbert gets picked up, and she's a girl comic. She's actually Indian, right? She's born here, but so he gets picked up by a comedian, an Indian girl named Ritu. And every 15 minutes, she has to pull over and blow into a tube, right? So he gets to the gig, does the show. Now I'm there, and my partner, who was running the show, said, "Hey, Joe, listen, I'll throw you a couple extra bucks. Would you give Gilbert a ride home?" I said, "No problem." I already met Gilbert a couple of times. But here's the thing, people. I had just gotten a disease called Legionnaire's disease.
Oh, I remember you had that.
I caught Legionnaire's disease, right? Which, if you don't know, it's just you get it from like a faulty, like bad water or a water tower or air conditioning. Yeah. And it's nothing you can transmit to anybody, but it gives you a horrible pneumonia. So I was on oxygen treatments for 5 weeks. So for the first 3 weeks, I was home on a big machine, right, with the tubes going into my nose. But then for the last 2 weeks, I was able to go with a little backpack. So it looks like I had, the jetpack.
Yeah, the jetpack.
With the oxygen
like
tank.
Like Commander Cody.
Yeah. Yeah, with the oxygen tank. So now I got the oxygen tank with me, and James is my partner's like, "James, Gilbert, Joe is going to give you a ride home." So he gets in the car, and I get in there, and he looks at me. He's like, "Are you okay?" I'm like, "Why?" He goes, "What's the matter?" And so now he had to get driven to the gig from a girl with to keep blowing in a tube for the car to keep going. And then he's got a chubby boy in the plastic bubble on the ride home who he thinks I must have emphysema or something. And I got this oxygen tank and tubes going in my nose. And I know Gilbert's probably done 20,000 shows. I know he remembered that ride in and ride back. What a weird, weird thing for him to have for one night. The Indian girl blowing in a tube, and then
Joe with the backpack.
Yes, with the oxygen tank. But what a huge loss.
Yes,
Gilbert is. And if you don't really know a lot about Gilbert, just go and look Gilbert up on YouTube and look at roasts, and you will see. I mean, we all know who Gilbert Godfrey is.
Yeah.
But what a tremendous loss.
Just the voice alone.
Just the voice alone. Yeah. I mean, unbelievable.
You don't have to like his comedy, but the voice is,
People love him because of he was
Aladdin.
Aladdin, right. Yeah. He played the parrot.
The parrot, yep.
Today, I see a parrot.
Today, I saw a parrot. Hey, it's Gilbert Godfrey.
I see a lot of parrots. What do you think of a yellow belly sapsucker?
Yeah. So, well, that listen. Rest in peace, Gilbert.
Yes, Gilbert.
And, what a yeah, just a giant loss.
Yeah, I loved his podcast.
Yeah, yeah. Louis loved his colossal, stupendous podcast. Right.
Yep.
All right. So, what are we gonna do here? We are gonna get started.
What are we gonna do? I forgot what we were gonna know.
I forgot what we were gonna do. All right. So, what we want to do is first of all, we want to our last episode we had. Our last full-grown nut of the week, and that was Wizard.
Yes, the Wiz.
Wizard Romney. Wizard.
The Wiz. Nobody beats the Wiz.
So he responded by just saying, "I just listened to the podcast episode. It's me. Ooh, ooh, what an honor to be named the week after the great Brian Carney. I am humbled to have been named the full-grown nut of the week. It brings a tear to my eye and a lump to my throat to accept this honor. I'm so excited that I haven't even thought about the Humphrey Davis quandary." That was from last week. "By the way, there had to be a by the way in there somewhere. Pay attention. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. I want to thank you. And you for presenting me with this award. And now back to Charlie Chan."
And you.
That.
I like that.
I love when he does that.
And you. And you for taking a picture.
And you. So now we have to go forward. All right?
Yes.
We have to go forward. And here we go.
Verily, the Honeymooners podcast knights the full-grown nut of the week. Aren't you lucky?
All right. So we have to get our full grown nut of the week. And am I not doing?
Yeah, you're doing something wrong. You're forgetting that one thing.
Am I forgetting? No.
It was like the drum roll thing.
But isn't that afterwards? Right?
No, we had to mention his name.
Now we're gonna do that now, right?
Yeah, do the drum roll, and then he goes into mentioning his name.
Right. Here we go. Yes. I got it. All right, people. Just pretend like we know what we're doing. All right? Just pretend it's right before the Brian Carney interview, all right? And now the award.
It gives me real pleasure to present to you this award.
Richie the Mole. Yes, Richie the Mole is our full-grown nut of the week. All right? Now, we have to tell you.
Yeah.
Richie the Mole, this was a tough one. Okay, because Richie the Mole didn't start off like, you know, maybe Norm or some of the other guys where he just found us and loved us.
Right.
No. It started off on Twitter very much so like, hey, what is this you guys are doing? All right? This is not comedy.
How dare you?
What is this? What are you guys doing? He was very upset with us.
Yeah.
Said whatever he was saying. And I said, and me, I'm good at that. I said, hey, listen, I'm sorry it's not your thing, but you should give us a listen. And boy, did he change his tune.
Oh, man.
He not only doesn't not like us, he sent us gifts. He sent us
gifts. Parting gifts and things like that.
So, yes, coincidentally, music that would give you parting gifts because he sent us parting gifts. But Richie DeMol, he was great. He sent us a book, some other things and always helps out.
Always helps out.
With the show. Yep. So we say congratulations, Richie DeMol, our full-grown nut of the week. Right after our little break, and congratulations!
It took. Thank God we were off a little, about 2 weeks, because we had to sequester the board of nuts.
Well, because it wasn't like
they were going back to that one incident.
Yeah,
his very first, and they're saying, I don't know if this man is worthy. So I know they're up all night. I'm making coffee for them, and they're.
It was almost like it was like a what do you call it? A trial? What do you call it?
A sequestered jury.
Yeah. and I mean, even somebody was like,
is this the man who gets the award?
And they thought about it, you know, and they were like, I don't know. Huh. And you know, we said, hey, listen.
No, it's gonna be one of those nuts.
Yeah.
That was like, I think that was the convincer right
there. Yes, exactly. Because we knew.
Yeah, now you're a full grown nut.
Exactly. We explained it to him.
Then they gave in.
Almost was a hung jury.
It was a hung jury.
It was a hung jury.
Think they said yes just to get out of the room. After a while, it wasn't about Richie no more.
Right,
they just wanted to go home.
Exactly. So, congratulations, and Richie DeMol. All right. And I will be sending you your certificate.
Yes.
And, you know, what's it go to? 33
Gibson Street? Yes, Gibson Street, yeah.
Care of Gibson. But, yes, and we thank you, Richie DeMol, because you, well-deserved, I think. We hope that you are...
I am humble.
We hope.
We hope.
Because we kind of know that...
I know that I am not worthy of it.
All right. Before we even get into our real first thing, we just have to say, our last episode, we were talking about the quandary with Jim McKeever.
Oh, yeah. Humphrey Davis,
right.
Jim McKeever and the guy at the costume party.
And since we're talking about the full-grown nut of the week, we're just referencing to Ira, who was our
first
full-grown nut of the week, all right? One of our...
Honorary title. Absolutely.
And this, Ira commented on our last episode, and I needed to just read it to you guys because it sums up what Ira is totally.
Why he was number one.
And if you guys remember, we were talking about the Humphrey Davis and Jim McKeever and the quandary.
Yeah, the guy on the conductor on the train. Or he's the same guy?
Is it the same guy?
You know?
Right. And of course, Louis also had the observation when Ralph fell down the stairs. when he came back up, he's still, he's still holding his shoes and socks. So Ira says, and he and I'm gonna just blank it out because he curses. He put, I don't give a blank about Davis or McKeever. I'm still laughing my ass off about Ralph holding onto his slippers and socks after falling down the stairs. And that just sums up Ira.
That's
like
him.
Even in the most loving compliment, he's like, I don't give a. it's just absolutely perfect. It sums up Ira. To a T.
That's him.
So that's our full-grown nut of the week and our honorary first full-grown nut.
First full-grown
nut. His comment. But all right, we're
going
to get going.
Yeah, let's get going.
With a little thing here, what I wanted to do, this is going to be a fun thing that we can all discuss. From TV or not TV.
Right.
Pilot episode, first episode. Mm-hmm. Towards the end, when Norton comes down to watch the late show, which is the galloping
ghost of Mystery Gulch.
All right. And I'm going to play you the clip, and then I'm going to ask you guys this question, and there's no answer
for it.
It's just going to be something. Here we
rhetorical
go.
And
questions.
Now for the late show.
Okay. Big sandwich. Ralph comes in. Okay. All right. So here is my question, because we know that this was very primitive times.
Yeah.
And when they had, you know, when Ralph fell down the stairs, they were hitting things and all
that
kind of stuff.
Rolling something or whatever they were doing.
And even with Captain Video, it was Frank Marth and
Petrie doing
the voices, obviously from off stage. Mm-hmm. Here's my question. Who did the scream?
There it is.
Who did the scream?
Now, this is a woman's scream.
It's a girl scream, without
a doubt. Now, we know they could have used a tape.
Right.
But to me, it sounds like somebody off stage.
Yeah.
So who?
It could have been anybody.
Anybody.
But it almost, to me, almost sounds like Mrs. Manicott.
I would go with that. If there is anybody. Because now remember, like you said, Joe, there's only four people in this episode.
Right.
The four main characters, nobody else.
So there's no reason for anybody else to be.
You know, I mean, I guess these people hang around. I don't know what they do. But it could be Zama Cunningham. I could picture her doing that scream.
I could totally picture her doing that.
You know what it is, too, about her? If you don't watch the Lost episode, you don't know her voice. Because you're only hearing her
doing
fake
the
Italian,
fake
you
Italian
know,
accent.
Her Italian accent. So you don't know her voice. But it could be her. Is it Alice doing it? Is it Trixie?
Now, it could have been
a recording. I don't know.
It could have been, like, say, somebody who was in... The dressing room or whoever.
A makeup artist.
All right, listen, at this point, we're going to have you scream. So it just kind of makes me wonder. Like, I wonder who screamed that. And of course, these are the questions that, you know, mental patients like ourselves.
Yeah, sure. We like the ones
ask.
That you can't answer.
Yes, we can't answer.
We love questions like this.
And of course, we noticed, too, when Ralph comes in. And, of course, everybody notices how Norton loses his mind a little bit and, like, you know, Art Carney kind of busts out laughing on the side. But when he says, get out, and he says get out three times, really, really fierce.
That last one. That's like we think it's kind of reminiscent of the Lost episodes where Ralph just used to just
scream like
over
crazy
over nothing. You know?
This was almost old school early Ralph.
That's right. This is the first episode, so he's like reverted to the Lost.
Still might have had a little bit of the old early Ralph in it, where it was just him screaming and yelling.
Yeah.
But that last scream, he is. And the thing is, you don't hear it as well because I've said this. TV or not TV, the audio is not good.
No, it's not great.
It almost sounds like somebody recorded it from the audience and they didn't have microphones.
Yeah.
So it's almost echoey, like you were just putting a camera up while there was a play going on. And so you don't hear him that well because the audience is roaring.
Yeah.
And it just sounds like he is at the top of Gleason's lungs.
That third one, you couldn't get any louder.
You couldn't get any louder than that. And that just shows how loud these people were laughing.
Now I'm surprised Garrity didn't come to the door for that one.
Yeah.
got the TV on watching the Late 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 Show. He comes out screaming.
Yeah, where's Jealous McGarity now?
Should have been on the, and banging on the door. Shut up, you're driving everybody nuts.
Driving everybody crazy. Almost sounds a little Italian when he said it. Yeah. You know? Driving everybody crazy.
It's just absolutely great, but...
Yeah, so I just thought, wow, what an interesting thought to go, who screamed?
Yeah, who screamed?
Because it could have been a recording, but it sounds, it all sounds like it's all coming from off stage. Like I said, very primitive. The show was very basic. And even when they did do things, like you said, you know, him falling down the stairs, there were people hitting things.
Yeah.
Just like cartoons. Yeah. That's how they made, you know, the different sound effects for cartoons and stuff like that. So
even the gun is from Trapped. The gun is from Trapped.
It's from Trapped.
It's the same shot when he robbed the bank. The Charlie Chan movie and the bank robbery.
And the
Trapped.
Bank robbery.
Same gun. Do one of those forensic gun, gun forensics on it. Hey, this was used before. And a bank robbery by Bibbo and Danny.
Hey. This is great gun. Hey. Okay. Another little thing I wanted to bring up now. Hello Ball, okay, we all know, is one, and for most people who are just DEFCON 3s, we all understand it's an iconic moment, but it's not most of our
not
favorites.
Mine at
it's,
all.
It's not mine either.
Not at all for me.
But it's almost like we love the fact that it's there because it helps bring the show.
Yes, it does.
It brings it, it brought it to the masses.
Yes.
After, during reruns and stuff like that.
People still use it as the line.
As the line.
Oh, yeah, the Honeymooners. Oh, yeah, that hello, boy.
Our pal, Brian Carney, he said whenever he would go out, you know, if he went golfing and anybody found out, you know, they were like, oh, Brian Carney, they would, hello,
he
ball.
Would get hello, ball.
He would get the hello, ball all the time.
Silver Oaks.
That's great. We didn't do the hello, ball. We did the Silver Oaks reference. But I noticed something about the hello ball, and it's right afterwards. And this is just my opinion, but here we go.
Step up.
Plant your feet firmly.
Firmly. I like what he says there.
Hello, ball.
Somebody screams in the audience.
Somebody screams.
God.
I think it was Mrs. Manicotti.
Off stage.
I think it was Mrs. Manicotti. It was the same girl that did the scream from Mystery Gulch. Okay, here we go.
Hello, ball.
All right.
Will you get in the book and find out when it starts to swinging?
Maybe it sounds nuts. I don't know. That's what they say in golf there. They say tally-ho when they're fox hunting. What's crazier, saying tally-ho to a fox or saying hello to a golf ball?
All right. Now, I personally believe, and I bet you most of you guys would agree, I believe the line of what do you think's crazier? Saying hello, saying tally-ho to a fox, or saying hello to a golf ball. That is the funnier line to me.
Yeah, to me too.
To me, that's the funnier line. But it's almost like if you were a fan of like a talk radio show, maybe a comedy radio show where it was like a zoo or like a Howard Stern or an Opie and Anthony. Yeah. What grabs people's attentions are the outrageous moments. Mm-hmm. And I always said there's a couple of those outrageous moments with him with like Blabbermouth or him walking in with the crazy costumes where the audience goes crazy.
Yeah, the visual gag.
The visual gags, the over-the-top things. Mm-hmm. But what keeps you and what holds you is the great content.
Yeah.
And as hilarious as Hello Ball was, it wasn't just Hello Ball and that's it. It was followed and tied up beautifully with they say, what do you think sounds crazier? Saying tally-ho to a fox or hello to a golf ball. And that's, again, what made the show fantastic. Because they didn't just go for the easy gag. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They always tied it with a wonderful, smart, whether it's smart, clever, like we kind of joked and said, you know, the show might have been very basic, but it's like seeing, you know, it's like when they were going to make a new Honeymooners thing. Mm-hmm. It's like you can't replicate the 1957 Chevy.
No,
make one now today, it's not the same thing. So, and that's what I love about it. Like that is just so fantastic.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, because the thing with the Hello Ball, I guess, never a favorite of mine, Hello Ball.
Right.
But the audience reaction, they're screaming out there, screaming.
Yeah. And we love it. We love the fact
like
that. Yeah, we love the fact that
it's part of it.
Right.
It's part of it. It's the 111. It's just part of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the hello ball.
Yeah, and it's fine, but it's almost like if you have a favorite comedian and it's not your favorite joke, but you love the fact that everybody loves the joke.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yep. You're like, that's cool. Mm-hmm. No, it's not my favorite joke, but I'm glad that everybody loves that joke.
Yep. Absolutely. All right. We are rolling along here. We are rolling.
A little rocky start there.
But. Yeah, a little rocky start. Okay, I will admit that. Yeah. But we are going to get going, and we're going to go to something that's a classic. It's a staple on this show, and that is... Haven't heard this song in a while.
And now, from the observation deck overlooking the Johnson Building at 328 Chauncey Street, the Honeymooners Podcast presents Louis' Observations.
All right. Yeah. Louis' Observations, everybody. And Louis' Observations is brought to you by... No, I'm just kidding, obviously. That's what we're going to start doing.
We're going to start sponsoring. I'm going to start sponsoring it. I'm going to look for a sponsor for this.
Sponsored by ShopRite.
Okay. Silk City Hot Sauce. The Silk City Hot Sauce Observation.
So now Louis' observation is from The Sleepwalker, right? It's from...
No. Oh, My Aching Back.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Oh, My Aching Back. I apologize.
Yeah. Well, Sleepwalker's in the scene. That's why.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right. That's why. Because it's the one of the two episodes that are there's a correlation.
Exactly. One of the few.
Yeah. I think it's the only two that kind of connect with each other.
Had like a little continuity.
Yes. Yes. So this is from
Oh My Aching Back. One of my favorites.
Yes. And I'll just play the clip, right?
Yeah. Just play it. Yeah.
Yep. And then Louis will give you the observation.
Ralph, you can't stay home here. I have nothing prepared for supper.
Doesn't make any difference. I'm too tired to eat anyway. I'm going in, put some water on my face before I collapse. Don't worry about me eating. I haven't got the energy to pick up a fork.
My boy is too tired to eat. In exactly 10 seconds, he's going to yell out here, Alice, any leftovers from last night's supper? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Alice, any leftovers from last night's supper?
He sure sticks to the script. He sure does.
All right. First of all, me and Louis both said he doesn't stick to the script.
That's like a big misnomer right there.
Yeah. He doesn't stick to the script.
If anybody, it would be him.
So now, Louis.
All right. Here's the observation.
Okay.
Okay, now. Let's set the scene here. We just kind of set it up here. Well, first of all, why are you asking? Can't you just, it's your house. You just can't go into the icebox and look and see if there's anything in there? No, that's the observation.
All right.
Because later on,
of course,
What happens? They do the little scheme. They're, it looks like rain tonight, and Norton comes down.
Yep.
Fake sleepwalking, opens the door, and then closes it, sleepwalking. So then... Alice says, Ralph.
Because Ralph is going to go upstairs.
Ralph's going to go upstairs now with Ed. We all get the picture. Ralph's going to go upstairs. It's his scheme so he can sleep on the sleeping pad for his back. So he goes upstairs with Norton.
Right.
And then Alice says to him, don't forget, Ralph, there's a load of chicken in the icebox. Okay. Load of fried chicken in the icebox. Wait a minute. Like, if you checked before, instead of asking Alice if there's any leftovers, you would have seen this load of fried chicken.
And plus, she said they didn't have anything.
Like, when did you make this? There was no KFC back then. I was like, wait a minute. First of all, he's not checking his own icebox.
Right, exactly.
He's asking for leftovers. She goes, I have no time. Would she say, I had nothing prepared for supper. Nothing prepared for supper. And then he asks, is any leftovers from last night's supper?
Right.
So.
Exactly.
But she did make a load of fried chicken.
Yeah, exactly. So what'd she make that for?
Yeah, but and you didn't check. You don't even. Everybody, I mean, I look in my refrigerator 1,000 times a day. I just open the door and look in there. The same thing. There's nothing in there. Open, keep it open and closed and look in there. Nothing new appears. But we do it. You're not going to. Him, especially him, he's not going to check the icebox.
Yeah, yeah. Am I the kind of person that checks an icebox? Don't be a Weisenheimer.
Yeah, I'm right. I remember Mrs. Fogarty.
It's a, I love it. So, it's a great observation.
So that's the observation.
It's this quick. It's like it contradicts each other instantly, which, of course, is.
You know what would have been good, Joe? Just thinking about this now. If he actually ate a piece of the chicken, because then it would have proved that he stayed home.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
That there was some missing chicken from the icebox.
That's true. Hey, I grabbed the piece of chicken.
I was hungry. I checked the icebox.
Right.
You know, like any normal person would have done before.
Yeah.
And he would have ate some of that chicken.
He would have had a little piece of the fried chicken.
And it's kind of like the potato salad thing. There's a load of fried chicken. There's like two pieces.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. And Norton got
a quarter. He looks like he eating a chicken quarter. The leg and the thigh together.
Yes.
That's basically what it looks like to me.
It did. Yeah, yeah.
And there was one more on the plate. So that's the load of fried chicken.
The load of fried chicken.
Like the load of Chick-fil-A potato salad.
Yes.
That little half a potato.
I know. It looks like where you put dipping sauce or something in. It's like, wait a minute. Where's the big thing of chicken salad?
Yeah, like this, the Irish potato famine.
Potato salad. Oh, that is great. So I love that.
That's the observation.
I love that observation. That is fantastic. All right. Well, listen, folks. We are blowing right through this episode.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. We are almost at 35 minutes or whatever. No. Kind of went through quick.
Yeah, well.
But of course, we can't end the show without Louis' second or third or fourth favorite
thing
on the
show. It's up there.
It's top five.
It's top five. Like, oh, my aching back is on my top five. Oh, it was a trivia. It's on my top five.
And here we go. Let's see our timing.
And now, Tom, who is our first guest, please?
Herp!
Our first guest, ready to
leap
the first hurdle on his way to the $99,000 answer, is our
comedian from Tibet, Joe Conte.
I want to see the expression on your face when you miss it.
Oh, what happened there? Man. My God, I came all the way from Tibet.
Tibet, that
and, well, I, and I get the abuse.
They took 5 hours off the trip.
So it only took me 38 hours instead of 43. Oh, my God. All the way from Tibet.
All right.
I love the fact that I don't know what Louis is going to do in the beginning. I don't know what this one's going to be.
I usually prepared him. I did not prepare one.
Okay.
I forgot. I just did this off the top of my
head. Okay. All right. Oh, boy.
I forgot. You're saying, oh, my God. I'm like, oh, my God. I got to do the thing from the comedian from someplace.
Oh, you just don't.
No, I just did this now.
Oh, wow. Okay. That was a great one. All the way from Tibet. All right.
Here it is. So, prepared by
Professor Walter Newman.
Thank you, Professor. Easy one.
Okay.
And going back to my opening was started with Mrs. Gibson. We're going to get trivia questions involves her too.
Okay.
According to Mrs. Gibson, this is important. According to Mrs. Gibson, how far did the Cramdons live from the subway station?
Put the clicking thing.
Get the clicking out.
Wait a minute.
Get
the clicking out of the phone. 3 blocks?
Yes, 3.
Is it long
there
blocks?
You go.
Okay.
3 All right, long cool. Block.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
Yes,
I wasn't sure. I'm like, it was I'm thinking 3 or 5, but 5 seemed too
far.
Far,
yeah.
And then I was pretty sure it was 3.
3 long. 3 works there. It's one of them things that works.
Yes.
3 long blocks.
Because it was 2, it's
not that long.
5 would have seemed
too long
anyway.
Yeah, like really, you really walked 5 blocks in the subway station to
their
house?
Yeah, exactly.
Because Kosciuszko Street's only like 15 blocks. Might as well just walk from home. So I just jumping on the subway.
So, what do we do here? First of all, we have to thank Silk City Hot Sauce, our wonderful sponsor. Go to silkcityhotsauce.com, and when you purchase your wonderful hot sauce, what you do is you put RX in the coupon code and get yourself 15%
percentage
off of your order, and you can get a free bottle of
cherry sriracha.
I'm sorry, I couldn't think of the word.
I had to get it right at least one time. We messed it up in the beginning.
We came back strong.
That's exactly it.
We finished strong. That's all that matters.
So don't forget, thank Silk City Hot Sauce. For all you guys that listen, email, comment on Facebook and Twitter, and some of you special pals, and of course, our full-grown nut of the week,
yes, Richie the Mole.
Yes. Don't forget, hey, listen, share with your friends on social media some of our episodes or some of the videos that we have. That would be fantastic of you guys, you know? Maybe there are some other full-grown nuts out there. And every day we find people that are like, we never knew you existed.
Yep.
So help us out with that. And the Facebook group, the Honeymooners Raccoon Lodge with Joy and Brother Norton.
Yep, good friends.
Thank
good
them, friends. Of course. And my one-hour comedy album called Happiness. You can download it anywhere you get your music or comedy. And if you want to also support us on our Patreon, just go to any of our episodes on the Honeymooners website, non-productive.com/honeymooners. And you can support us with... I don't know. You could either give us, I don't know.
I suppose I can put you down for the usual buck.
Yeah, you could do that. Or if you want to go a little heavy.
$100.
You could throw us $100.
$100.
Yes, yes, Charlie. How about $100?
$100.
Yes, of course. All right, I'm just being cheap now.
We'll take the buck, though.
All right.
It would be our first one.
Yes. Well, listen, that is it. Episode number 95 in the books. So for me, Joe Conti, and Louis Fats, we say we'll see you next time.
E pluribus raccoonum. Night all.
Goodbye, Mr. Crandon. I'll be seeing you.
I'll be seeing you, Irving Kane. Irving Kale and Sammy Fain, 1938.
No, Mr. Cameron, it's all over now.
It's all over now. Bassie Simon, 1927.
No, good night, Mr. Cram.
Good night. There were two songs, good night. It was Good Night, Irene, written by Lomax and Ledbetter. Good Night, Sweetheart, written by Rudy Valley and Ray Noble.
RX.
This has been a non-productive media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.